You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Hyundai and the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the wide range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com.
If you stay here and listen, your life will never be the same. Cause we're talking with T-Bird now. And this T-Bird you cannot change. Oh, this T-Bird you cannot change. And things might get pretty strange.
Yes, that's right. Talking with T-Bird is back. I'm Rob Cesternino, back with the woman who tracks down all the survivors, like Karen Grodel from Survivor Palau. Here she is. It's Teresa T-Bird Cooper. T-Bird, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm good. Okay, we got Karen and we...
Do you ring the bell for yourself, T-Bird? Is that what... Do you do that also?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually... I think I heard Karen's name, so I'm already caught up into our interview with Karen. And I know that Karen has been such a mystery. She's been very mysterious.
Very mysterious.
This today.
Yes.
Very mysterious because I'm a woman of a lot of words. And Karen, even though she's a lawyer, I'm sure she's got a lot of words that she uses. But when we've been trying to communicate with each other, it would be very short text from her because I'm sure she's very busy. So I was really happy that this came together. So, yeah, yes. I rang my bell when I heard Karen's name because I'm thinking, we got Karen.
Because I know there's there's a couple of guys on Twitter, right, that send you messages that say, get Karen from Survivor Palau.
Yes. I've still got the list from 2.5, 3 years ago, the ongoing list of people that
you still have my list, right?
Well, I have your top 12 that you gave me when we first... Before we started, you gave me a top 12. We've gotten them all, but about three. But okay. Hey, never say die.
Right.
And then I've got another list, and then you add to it. And then also, Rob, I want to say, if you haven't taken the time to listen to the season 3 yet of the Talking with T-Birds, we have talked to some fascinating people. Jan Gentry last week will keep you in stitches and tell you some fantastic, crazy stories in only a way that Jan Gentry could tell it.
Yes.
And then today, Rob, I have to tell you this. I flew back in today just to get here so we could get this podcast in with Karen. And I had in the mail a book from Jake Billingsley. A book written called Shaping My Hat. Yes.
Shaping My
He's
Hat.
He's written a book.
What's it about?
Yeah,
how to shape your hat?
Okay. It's a how-to book in story form for anyone wanting to seek a better life. It follows the author through his life and helps you to be a better person, live a happier and richer life.
Oh, I could use that.
He's got a book out.
Yeah.
Who knew, Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is from, you know, it's amazing, Rob. It's amazing how many survivors have done so many other things. I know I've gotten, I think Scout has sent me a book she did. And then Keith Famey sent me all these DVDs that he's produced. And some people doing some great things. I feel like I need to pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah, T-Bird, what would your book be about?
Something.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I think I know what. Optimism, being positive.
Yes, you should work on. We need that book, T-Bird.
I think I need to do that.
Yeah.
Optimistic and positive. Rob, that's so funny because we were talking before we started today about Big Brother and maybe not being completely optimistic, but maybe being a little more not optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of times you have to if you're watching Big Brother, especially if you're watching the live feeds. But T-Bird, what would it be called? True. What would be the name of your book about optimism?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Oh, I already know the book. I already know the name of the book because when I did, remember I did my, the podcast.
Yes.
And that was
with
one
Matt
of the
Scott?
Questions I got asked.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, and what was it again?
Mr. Scott.
Yes.
It was like, even with a broken wing, you could fly.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, God. That gives me tears even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Rob, I know it's crazy as it sounds, but
and
it's true
double meaning because of your 40 years with Delta Airlines.
Well, okay, that and the nickname T-Bird.
Yes.
And Rob, you know, people listen to you. We love listening to you. We listen to your podcast.
They love it. Yeah.
Everybody probably thinks Rob is always so happy. Rob doesn't have anything going on in his life because you don't show us that because you're a professional. But we all have stuff going on in our lives. So if you think you don't, we all do. So even with a broken wing, you can fly.
Okay.
That's
all
it.
Right. Well, T-Bird, we will wait for the book. Hopefully there will be an audio book as well that you can do the narration for. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. I'll get on that. I'll definitely get on that. But for now, I've got Shaping My Hat.
Okay.
With Jake Billy Slay, I'm going to be reading.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Wait a minute, Rob.
So we've got Karen coming up here. Oh, that. We'll work on that another time. We'll work on that another time, T-Bird. We got to talk about Karen. Okay. All right. We got Karen standing by. Let's go ahead and thank our friends over at Hyundai, who remind us that everything's better electrified, like these conversations. And Hyundai has the widest range of electrified vehicles on the market, including the first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Their turbocharged engines have a quiet, rapid acceleration, and you can use the electric when you want it or the gas when you need it. It's your journey. Evolve it beyond the pump in the 2022 Tucson or Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Visit your nearest Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, T-Bird, take it away.
All right. Survivor's 10th season filmed in Palau did not disappoint. There was no way it could with the amazing cast. We would unfortunately see an elimination on day two with a schoolyard pick with two players sent packing and our guest today having a part in sending one of them home. It would be an emotional start. Born and raised in New York, describing herself as adventurous, she would get the adventure of a lifetime at the age of 46. She had already accomplished so much, a mom of three daughters and a civil rights lawyer obtaining her law degree from George Mason University. She was the oldest female, mature female on the Karor tribe, and with Karor winning every immunity challenge, there would be no traditional merge. So, perfect, right? Well, she has compared her survivor experience to high school with cliques and the in and out crowd. Throw in being tired, hungry with no food, cold, no blanket, no covers, her tennis shoes doubling as her pillow, pitch black at night with only the sounds of the rats scampering about, which infested their camp. But it was the sleep deprivation that proved to be most difficult. And she said, because of that, quote, I was not keenly aware, not in my right mind, end quote. and her already small, petite frame of 120 pounds dropping to 107 pounds would have her bones digging into the bamboo makeshift bed. But it would be the love-hate relationship this mom of three shared with one of her female tribe mates that would prove demanding and turn into confessional gold. She would be voted out on day 36 when attempting to vote out a challenge threat. The young 23-year-old, who she said, quote, was like a son to me, he watched out for me, end quote, the plan would backfire on her. She said that Survivor changed her life and gave her a renewed love for the outdoors. To remind her of her life-changing experience, she built a fire pit with all her winnings, complete with palms, to remind her of Palau. I introduce to you the woman whose castmate told me, quote, get ready, Karen is an unloaded, crazy person in a good way, mysterious and an open book. Who knows what she will say, end quote. R-H-A-P, Karen Gradell.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
I'm great. Just absolutely great. And wow, what an intro. Oh my gosh. You nailed it in like a minute and a half.
Nice going, T-Bird.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Yeah. Karen, no, really, thank you so much for doing this.
No, my pleasure. I love talking Survivor.
Okay. Karen, that's great to hear. You're in the right place. What have you been up to since the show?
Well, since the show, I got divorced. I did 5 volunteer trips abroad, one to Cuba, one to Ghana, West Africa, one to Vietnam, one to China, and one to Peru in the Andes Mountains. And I am retiring at the end of this year, finally, and moving to Florida. I bought a little house near the beach.
Nice. What do you do on all those trips?
Each trip is different. 2 of them, I taught English in Vietnam and Cambodia. Kids come, they hear there's an English-speaking person. They will walk with no shoes. Their ticket out of that life is learning English so they can get in the hospitality trade. So for those 2 trips, I taught English. The trip to Cuba was to teach organic farming. That was right after Castro opened the border. That said that people could grow their own vegetables. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because the theory before that was nobody could have more than anyone else. So one was in Ghana, West Africa, to build an outhouse because they did not have one. And during the monsoon, when girls would need privacy, they had nowhere to go and they'd often get washed away by the monsoon. So we built an outhouse. And then the other one was working in an orphanage in Peru.
Yeah. That's incredible.
So, yeah. So those were the 5 trips and each one enriching. And I took my daughters and they came back from each trip feeling luckier than they did before they went and more appreciative. And also, I think, more humbled.
Would you have done anything like that before Survivor, Karen? Because I thought from reading that, you know, you did Survivor and it made you really appreciate the outdoors and the love of, you know, of being outdoors and adventure.
I don't think I would have traveled so far. I maybe would have done some. I always volunteered like on a suicide hotline and other, you know, shelters in the States. But I don't think I would have gone abroad so far and you know, so deep, if like in these villages and places that had no roads and, you know, very hard to get to. I don't think I would have been interested in that or up for it or felt the need to experience such a challenging trip if I hadn't done Survivor.
What got you into Survivor? Had you been watching the seasons prior to Palau?
My daughters and I had this when it was on Thursday nights, and my daughters and I had this ritual. We'd get sandwiches. We'd hunker down in front of the TV. We'd watch. And after, you know, 8 seasons or so, my middle daughter said, Mom, did you notice that there's always a mom? There's always one mom. You could be the mom. And I said, oh, Isabel, I don't think I could be the mom. I have 3 daughters. I'm not going to show my, you know, breasts on TV. I can't get away from work.
Is that what the moms usually do?
No, but that's what everyone else does.
Yeah. I mean, that is true, actually, Karen. And now that I think about it, that does happen.
Right? I mean, yes. Jen and, nude, like naked, not naked, but topless. And I just wouldn't do that because I have three daughters and because I'm a lawyer and I'm Jewish and all of those things would lead me to be more humble about my body. So, my middle daughter said, well, Mom, if I, she looked up how to do it and it said a 3-minute video and an application. And she said, if I do your video and I fill out the application, will you mail it? Because she didn't know how to do postage. And I said, yeah, all right, I'll do that. And I did it. And my video was very funny. And I don't know what she put on there, but it must have been pretty cute. Mm-hmm. And I got picked.
What did you do on your video, Karen? I know you said it must have been funny, but so what did you do that got their attention?
Well, I worked out. She got me 30 seconds working out in the morning. Then she went to my office with me and 30 seconds of talking to my employees, telling them I was going to court and I was going to argue a motion and this is what needed to be done in the interim. And then I did I went and argued a motion and my daughter asked the judge, we went back to the judge's chambers and asked, she said, can I video my mom? And the judge said, oh no videos are allowed in the courtroom. And she said, but you don't understand. But wait a minute. I can't say I signed a $5 million contract. Mm-hmm. So the judge said, well, you can tell me and I promise I won't tell anyone. And she said, well, I'm trying to get my mom on Survivor. And if you could just let me film for 30 seconds or a minute. And the judge, that was the chief judge of the courthouse, and she said, fine. And she let me film it and Isabel film it. So that was another 30 minutes or whatever. Then when I came home, it was very unusual. My husband was for some reason, he was home at 5:30 and he was washing dishes in his pajamas. And I walked in and I really started laughing. And, Survivor, they like the laugh is very important to them. When they're deciding these, I know I'm not the only one whose laugh helped. And then the last thing was he had on the deck wine and cheese for some odd reason at 5:30 during a weekday. The whole thing was so bizarre. I was laughing hysterically in my suit and he's in his pajamas. And that was my 3-minute video. Mm-hmm. Something, I guess they liked something.
Was there any particular thing that you had done that you felt like that they really liked about you other than the laugh?
I think I talked about being a civil rights lawyer and that I would fight. I'd have to figure out a balance between being a civil rights lawyer and calling out people for discriminatory or harassing kind of comments, which did happen on the show, except that I didn't do what I thought I was going to do. And then the other thing was, I did talk about my accomplishments and being a good speaker and winning a lot of oral arguments and a lot of trials and knowing how to convince people. And that, I think, was pretty important.
I don't care how it happens, Rob, but you've got to make Karen laugh hysterically because I got to hear this laugh.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. At some point, I got to hear this laugh.
It's not a wild laugh. It's just kind of for someone so serious or who can be serious and has a very serious job, representing people with First Amendment issues and police not coming into their neighborhoods and harassment and groping and sexual assault to I think that I can laugh on a dime, so to speak, mm-hmm. and be totally serious 1 minute and then totally, shocked and in a different frame of mind in another minute.
Yeah. Karen, is it weird for you that people are still like watching the show like all these years later now that, because I'm sure for a while, like people, it was very hard to like get your hands on the season. And now because everything is available online, like I'm sure a lot of people have watched the season recently.
It amazes me. And people still send me things and make funny things. that just, it surprises me and it's flattering, you know, that people still ask me for my signature and send me an envelope, postage stamps, envelope, and ask for, you know, a photo for their collection. And it's, that too is humbling that people, you know, something that was so, that people really follow, really, nobody said anything hateful. I know some people have gotten some hate mail and of things they've said and done. And I know I only got very, very kind, thoughtful gifts. People, one person gave me a stamp collection of all the stamps of that have ever come out in Palau, like in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. How do you say thank you for something like that? How do you, someone who takes their time, they don't know you. You know, I feel like, you know, who am I? Like, you went out of your way, you don't even know me. So there's, it just reinforces how many good and kind people there are.
Karen, when people mention your season and mention you, do they mention anything particular that you did that stands out to them? I mean, obviously you made it to day 36. You made it far.
Some people say, I love the way you stood up to Katie. Other people say, you know, I love the way you seem like you were really always telling the truth. That you were surprised when people lied. You know, people said you're kind of innocent for a lawyer because you were surprised when people were lying in the show that, you know, promotes lying. So those, I think, were the three things that really people have mentioned most.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen. You did not tell the other players that you were a lawyer, correct?
Correct.
And what was the story that you gave the other players? And was it hard to keep that cover?
It was stupid. And yes, it was hard. I said, I worked in my husband's restaurant. He had a French restaurant. And then someone asked me my favorite dish. And I'm like, French onion soup.
Why did you pick that? Why did you pick it? If you
had French in the name.
Yes.
On the spur of the moment, you can't think of, you know, oh, Shayla, you know, oh, you know, if de neuve, you know, to come up with something, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like French onion soup at a French restaurant in Washington, you know, in Cleveland. And yeah, it was a bad one. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk too much. Oh, no. I said I worked. That's what I said. I worked at a nonprofit and I helped my husband in his French restaurant.
Got it.
So the nonprofit was provided legal assistance to women. I did do that when I first moved to Cleveland. That part was true. So, but when they asked me about the French restaurant, he's a lawyer too. Mm-hmm. So when they asked me about him, you know, I had he's never home. I was always at the restaurant, and you know that part. What's his favorite dish? Mm-hmm. How could I not know that when I can only think on the spur of the moment of one dish, French onion soup, which probably isn't even served at a real French restaurant.
Yeah, and the French fries and the French toast.
Yes, exactly. It's a good thing I didn't say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the hits.
Right, exactly.
Karen, so when did you know that Yolanda Jones and Willard Smith were both attorneys as well? And didn't they not share that they were attorneys either?
No. No. Willard,
well, what were
I
they?
What
did they say they were?
I think he said he was a mailman, right? I feel like that's stands out, right?
I think that's, yes. And I think Yolanda said she worked for the government. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. Because yeah. I remember thinking, wow, that's an awfully nice suit for someone who works in the government. Remember the suit and those heels? Mm-hmm. Man, I thought that was a little suspicious. And I'm not a suspicious person by nature, but I don't know too many people who work in the government with a suit like that. Mm-hmm.
Karen, when you went to the finals of Palau, did you see any of your castmates out there during your finals week?
No, but I will tell you a funny story.
Please.
So you're on the plane and you don't know, you know, no, you know, they're very, very careful about that. You don't see anyone, you know, when you go to your meals, Everything's timed perfectly. When you get your 30 minutes of workout, everything's perfectly timed. So you don't really get to see anyone. But on the plane, you know, I'm wondering, you know, who of these people, 20 people are, you know, going to be on Survivor with me? And because it was, you know, fairly full plane ride. So I'm waiting for the restroom. And this woman comes out of the restroom and left it filthy, you know, disgusting. Sink was dirty. Everything, you know, was just gross. And I said, I really hope this person isn't on Survivor. Guess who it was?
What do you think, okay, T-Bird?
Oh God, I kind of hate to guess because I hate to
my
be
nemesis, my nemesis. My nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Rob.
Katie?
Go ahead, Rob.
Is Katie?
Yes. Rob.
Yes.
Okay.
Then it's like, oh, so not only is this woman going to Survivor, she's on my freaking tribe. I knew from the beginning.
That's where you got off on the wrong foot.
Yes. So, yes, I did already. I was like, this person doesn't clean up after herself. Ay, ay, ay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a fun. Yeah. But no, I didn't know that at least for my finals week, they were very diligent about making sure we didn't see anyone as we came and went. And it was all fast. You had to go, you know, really fast to the next room, or if you were going to be interviewed or tested or whatever you had to do, or if you got your lunch break or, you know, your workout time. Everything was very, very organized and timed meticulously so that you didn't see people, at least for me.
You mentioned your first impression of Katie. So I was wondering, with the schoolyard pick, your first impression for you two, I think you were chosen by Kobe, and then you chose Willard instead of Jonathan, of course, eliminating Jonathan Libby. What made you decide to choose Willard over Jonathan?
We bonded. He was an older guy. He was, you know, he and Tom and I and Wanda were the four oldest. So I would have picked any one of those four over any of the younger people because we're older and because, you know, it's harder for us to get away. And these are younger people and more energetic and, you know, a lot more. Well, this is what went through my mind. I want to give an older person a break. I'm in the older person category, you know, 40 and above. And I would have given any of those other older people a break over a younger person, even if they weren't as strong or as buff or as, you know, talkative or smart or whatever, just to be out there with someone that I could bond with, who I thought we deserve a little extra care for each other, because we are, you know, in this group of the four out of 20 who are over 40.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever talk to Jonathan after the fact? Did he ever say anything about you could have picked me?
At the finale, he said, hey, why'd you do that? Was that like a plan? And I said, no, it wasn't, because I thought you'd, you know, be, you know, not in alignment. I just had already kind of bonded with Willard, and we had talked a little bit. Jonathan, I didn't see. We didn't talk at all. He was kind of quiet when we were like doing shelter, and I didn't bond with him. I didn't talk to him at all. But Willard was friendly to me, and we just kind of bonded. It wasn't like a deep seated ploy. It was, I talked to this guy. He seems nice. He's 40 and over. I'm gonna, you know, go with someone who's in that category.
And did you always get along well with Willard on the island?
Loved Willard. Grumpy.
Yes.
You know what? But I really liked him a lot. He was entertaining. Grumpy in a cute way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people are grumpy in a mean way, and some people are just grumpy in a cute way.
Karen, that's like me. Grumpy in a cute way, right, T-Bird?
Exactly.
Yes.
Grumpy in a cute way that does not like surprises
mm-hmm.
at all. So, Karen, Okay. Have you stayed in touch with your Survivor Palau cast? Have you stayed in touch with Willard?
Yeah, I liked him right away, even though he was grumpy. And I was sad that he got voted off because of that thing. I guess he wanted to get voted off. Oh, and then when he left, he gave me his belt and socks.
Mm-hmm. What did you need the belt for?
I had a feeling I was going to be losing weight.
Yes.
I had already been, 2 days of not eating or 3 days of not eating already. My pants were kind of big on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, and my shoes, when your feet are, even though I had those indoor, outdoor water shoes with the sand, they still were raw. And so the socks were really helpful. Pays to be nice.
Yes.
Karen, I reached out to Willard. I've never met Willard and never talked to him. So I thought, oh my gosh, I think that Karen and Willard had a really tight connection out there. I mean, you kept him in the game. Let's face it. You picked him. You kept him in the game over Jonathan. So I reached out to Willard. It was a very short conversation. And by the way, for people, I'm going to just kind of refresh your memory. Willard lasted 12 days. He played when he was 56. He is now 74. And so I actually got his phone number. And I tried it, hoping it would be his number. And it was. Hoping he would answer, and he did. And now I've got to explain who I am. So I started by saying, I was on Survivor. We're Survivor family. And that was about it. From there, I said, I was on Survivor Africa. He said, from there, he took the conversation over and said, I didn't watch any of them, including my own. And he said, and I said, well, we're going to be talking to Karen tomorrow, and I just wanted to, see if you wanted to give me a little fun comment and something for Karen. I thought that would be so fun for Karen. And his comeback was, Karen, I don't remember this. I'm quoting. I don't remember most of the people I played with. And then from there, I made a bet with my secretary that I could beat the casting process. I didn't need the money. I won the bet. I wanted to get voted off as soon as I could so I could go on vacation. When I got back, I retired. I got to go. I got to go to the store and get some apples. End quote. Willard.
I know. When I called him, it took me a while to get his phone number too. And he said, Karen, I don't want to talk Survivor.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about apples?
Yeah, right. Right. He didn't want to talk about law. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to talk about Survivor. And he just made it really clear that, well, he was his grumpy self in his, it wasn't like that was any surprise. He was grumpy.
Yeah.
I just thought, sometimes you hear from someone you haven't seen or spoken to that even a grumpy person would say, hey, hi, something,
Karen, did you know about this bet that Willard had with his secretary? And what was the bet for, like $1 million?
I don't know how much the bet was for, but that's what he said. He told me that he had made a bet and he just wanted to get on.
Yes.
And now he was on and he was going to fake a way to get off.
Okay. T-Bird, what was the bet for?
Yes, that was exactly, Karen, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he told me in our 2-minute conversation. And I said, well, Willard, let me ask you, did you bet anything particular? He goes, nope, didn't bet a thing. And I won the bet.
So right.
He didn't bet anything except that he was going to go and beat the casting process.
This is the craziest story I've ever heard in my life, that they just made a bet for fun. And then he went to all this lengths to go through CBS casting and get on the show and fly all the way out to Palau and then leave as soon as he could.
And fake. He said, watch this, Karen. Don't try to like keep me on. Watch this. You want to see what a good actor I am? Watch this. And then he fakes that he's going into that paraplegic shock.
And he faked the medical injury? Why didn't he say the first day, hey, Karen, don't pick me. Pick Jonathan.
Right? Right? Because you know what? Willard would want to go on his own terms after making everyone aware that he was superior, didn't need to be there, didn't want to be there. It would go on his own terms instead of nobody would know that way. I wouldn't have known the whole story. And that wouldn't have been as fun as faking your own demise.
Guess
just
so.
To say, don't pick me. That wouldn't be exciting or fun for him to talk about when he went home. I don't think he has any kids. So I think it was just he and his wife, if I'm not mistaken. But he clearly wanted to do it on his own terms, told me he was going to do it before he did it. And he was really good. I mean, that was quite an act.
Give him an Oscar.
Oscar. It was an Oscar winning performance. Oh.
Jonathan Libby is going to be devastated when he hears this.
I know. You know, and then I thought, you know what? That guy, maybe he, you know, I didn't do the right thing because, you know, Jonathan, you know, Willard didn't even want to be on and Jonathan did. So that, but you never know. I had only known Willard talk to him, you know, total of 20 minutes. You know, he said he was really good at reconnaissance.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was really good at reconnaissance. I think he had said he was in the military. And I thought, wow, that's good. That would be good for a tribe to keep someone like that on. And so, you know, I just thought there's a lot of reasons to keep this guy on. And little did I know, you know, that's he was going to fake his demise. And
who knew?
That was that. But it was crazy. And then to not want to talk about it, like, I don't know, but it's totally in alignment with Willard's persona to not, you know, say, don't call me. I'm not into this Survivor thing. Never was, never will be. Don't bother me.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Karen, what was it like to be on such a dominant tribe where Karor was just, you know, winning everything, really couldn't be stopped, where Oolong just went to tribal after tribal, and we all know how that went. But what was it like being on the, you know, the business side of that?
I loved it. I mean, what could you not like about it? Every time, you know, we had a, you know, when Jeff would say, when we'd be standing there in line waiting for Jeff to, you know, say, come on in, and the tribe would come, I'd always know who it was. And, you know, it felt really good. It felt really, really good. And I knew, I kind of had this, you know, thought, like a prescient thought, that when I saw how terribly they did at the, when, you know, when Stephanie was yelling, come on guys, let's leave everything. We don't need everything. And then Yolanda says, if you take nothing, you got nothing. And Stephanie's like, well, you know, we just want to win. Like, we just want to win. And I just said, you know what? Stephanie's a leader. And if and no one else is stepping up to the plate. And you have two strong women, well, two strong people, diametrically opposed on how to win this thing. This does not bode well. And it happened every, seemed, you know, every challenge. They were not together. They had different ways of, you know, we would huddle. And, you know, even though Tom was bossy and, you know, but at least we, everyone kowtowed to him, but at least there was a plan. At least there was a plan. And, you know, sometimes Tom would just say, this is what we're going to do it. And I'd say, hey, Tom, this is the democracy. Last time I checked, but still I went along with it because I wanted to win. I definitely did not want to get voted out. My gosh, if somebody knows something, like in our tribe, when Kobe said, I'm going to do this one because I'm good at puzzles. Mm-hmm. And so we all said, okay, we're behind you. Go do the puzzles. They would be, nobody would step up to the plate. I'm good at this. They would just appoint people. When Ian, you know, when it was diving, of course, Ian, the dolphin trainer, we had a plan. We stuck to it. We went by who was good at what. And we talked about that the very first day. We sat down and we said, who is good at what? And I said, I'm good at endurance. Ian said he's good at diving. You know, someone said they're good at building. Kobe said he's good at puzzles. Everyone said what they're good at. And we went with that. And it was a winning strategy. And it was a good thing to talk about. So we knew, because you don't have a lot of time. You know, people always say, oh, the kids, do they give you a lot of time? And do they do retakes? People always ask me that. No, they give you, he says, I'll give you 5 seconds to strategize. He means that. He means you get 5 seconds to strategize. So if you don't quickly come to a plan, if you're going to be bickering and arguing, you're just never going to, it's just hard to win. And I just could tell on that, at that first challenge, this was a losing tribe. Sorry to say, because I know, you know, I know everybody on that tribe, most people on that tribe really wanted to stay on and win, but they didn't have a good strategy. They didn't have a plan. I don't think they worked together well. And we did. We did. A lot of different personalities, but we worked together well.
How many days in, Karen, did y'all start? I mean, you were winning everything. Did the personalities start kind of clashing? Did it take a while because y'all were winning and you were feeling good, but you were, is that when you stopped kind of bonding with each other and arguing?
No, it was really early, much earlier than that, because all there, you know, some annoying things, like Tom kept talking about food and we were all trying to stop, not think about food. And Tom would talk about the cakes he missed and this and that. And so we're like, come on, let's talk about anything else, you know? And then also when some of us were trying to get to sleep and then Katie would be laughing out loud, not caring, and they'd be telling jokes, and we were, you know, half of us were trying to sleep, and it's not like you could go somewhere else to go to sleep, and you're already having trouble sleeping. So that I knew that, and then little things like that, you know, trying to get to sleep and other people not being thoughtful of it, and also, you know, you could see right away who worked around camp, who didn't.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, there was a point toward the end where, did you say, if Tom doesn't win this, we should vote him out. This could be our last chance.
Yes, I did. I said, let's go for an all girl finale. Mm-hmm. And Katie said, I'd rather anybody win, but you. Something like that. Something silly. She could have had she knew she wouldn't have a chance of winning. So, you know, so it didn't matter to her whether if it was Tom or Ian or Jen. Mm-hmm. She just didn't want it to be me. And she was fine with it being Tom. We all wanted to take Katie to the end.
Yeah.
Sorry, Katie, if you're listening to this. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to be truthful here. We all wanted to take her because she was mean to so many people. Mm-hmm. And because she didn't work hard, didn't do anything around camp, and she just made it just wasn't not all that nice, and her jokes were not funny, they were mean. Yeah. And I like funny jokes, and so we all wanted her. We all knew she was going to the end. We all knew that.
Karen, at what point what was all this? Because I feel like that, you know, as it was portrayed on the show, that it seems like that, you know, we get the line from Katie about how that she wants a woman's alliance and that that you're the reason why the woman's alliance doesn't work. That's what we get in the edit.
That's what you get in the edit. But what happened was when Katie said, no, I'll think about it. Well, I knew if it was a woman's alliance, Stephanie was going to win. But I was okay with that. I was okay with Stephanie winning. And I just thought, let's make a change here instead of just like letting Tom win. It was when Katie said, I don't know, I don't know. And Stephanie was all in. Jen was not sure. Katie, I knew, was not going to go against Tom and Ian and Jen. So when I got that, like if she was right on board and said, yes, definitely, let's do it, I wouldn't have run to Tom. Mm-hmm. But when I saw the way it was going down and I'm the one who brought it up, I knew I'd be next if I didn't go tell Tom. I knew that, you know, Tom would say, you didn't tell me, you know, so-and-so brought up this. And I just felt after I got the vibe that it wasn't going to happen, that of course I would want an all-girls alliance. I knew it was not going to be Katie. It would either be Jen or Steph. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't I? I mean, if it wasn't me, those two women were fine. It was never going to be Katie. I know that's the way it came out on TV, but usually things came out pretty accurately, but that didn't.
How do you think you would have done, Karen, in that final immunity challenge between Ian and Katie and Tom? And could you have gone, as we asked Stephanie this question, if she could have gone, and you know Stephanie, she says she could have gone till the next day, which I'm sure there's no doubt she could have. Could you have hung in there during that challenge as many hours as Ian and Tom did?
It's hard to say, to be honest. I'm a fighter and I have a lot of endurance, but I was, like you said, 107 pounds and not sleeping well. And I don't know. I really don't. I wish I could just say, yes, I could have. But I don't know at the, you know, in the physical condition I was in. I certainly would have tried. I would not have given up.
Do you think if Ian hadn't dropped out, stepped down?
I can't believe Ian gave up $1 million. I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get over it to this day.
Yeah.
That he gave up $1 million. Yeah. How is he, by the way?
He was good. We talked to him a while back. It was, I think it was, 2020, T-Bird?
Yeah, I think so. And Karen, he has done such remarkable stuff. And he actually told us, and I don't know if I'll present this as perfectly as he did, but he believes that his life has taken the turns and he's gone in the direction he's gone in because he didn't win the money at 23 years old. And he does a lot of nonprofit.
Wow.
And he's just done remarkable things, Karen. You're going to be so proud of him.
That gives me goosebumps. I'm going to cry. I love that kid. He was such a good kid. Like he said, you know, until the end when, you know, the whole time, like up until day 35, 36, he said, and he kept his word when he said, I got your back. Cause I know I think there was talk of me being voted off. And I think he'd say, look, she's not harmful. She's, you know, she doesn't hurt anybody. She's not super great at challenges. She's works hard around camp. I know he stuck up for me. I have, you know, him to thank for a lot of how far I went. I'm so glad he's doing well. He's a really good young man. I don't know. Wait, how old is he now?
Yeah, I think he's like 40 now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now he's in the protected category, 40 and above.
Don't quote me on that yet. Let me get you the...
I could represent him if he ever got discriminated against from here on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he was doing very well when we talked to him. Yeah.
I'm so happy about that. Yeah, I know he's just a good person and talked a lot about his parents and, you know, his family, and seems like he was always happy, never in a bad mood, never angry, always had a smile, honestly, always worked so hard, went fishing and diving constantly, and was a good provider, the fish, and just in every way, just such a stellar human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so was Greg.
Mm-hmm.
So was Greg. You know, I didn't believe Kobe because he talked so much, he gossiped a lot, so I didn't believe he really had Greg. I should have believed him, and that's my one regret. And I've apologized to Kobe numerous times on, you know, text message and email and Facebook. You know, do you forgive me? I should have believed you. When he said, listen, we have Greg. We could, you know, flip this right now. Mm-hmm. And then that challenge, you know, I voted him off. But, you know, he said, listen, it's a game, Karen. But, you know, it was more than a game to me, of course, because it just never was a game, just the game to me. You know, some people, it's just a game. Willard, it was a game. You know, some people, it's a game. It was not a game to me. To me, this was, you know, a test of endurance and my integrity. And, you know, when they asked me in my interview, in the semifinal, you know, who do you emulate, you know? And I said, Ethan. You know, he could win without stabbing anybody in the back. That's the player I'm going to be. I said, if need be, I'm a very good actor. You know, I do act a lot in my jury trials, a lot. You know, I have to get angry and I have to get, you know, harsh on my cross-examinations and nice with, you know, some, you know, physically challenged people or mentally challenged people. And I could do that. So I knew I could if I had to, but my role model was Ethan. So it was more than a game to me. And Kobe was just very, very understanding, really. All he wanted to do was get on again. And I don't know why they didn't let him. I don't know why. I don't understand it. He was so loved, great at challenges, funny. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Why didn't they let him on again?
Well, Karen, let me jump in and say, first thing, you know, I played with Ethan and I was there. I finished on day 36, just like you did. We have that in common. Uh-huh. And everything you're saying about Ethan and his gameplay, because I was there and I witnessed it, you are absolutely right. 100% right. But so, yes, he was a great winner for any season, but I'm proud to have him that he won our season. So you're right about that. Absolutely.
Right?
To Ethan.
And in all the other challenges he has faced with grace and aplomb.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know, Karen, that you probably bonded with Kobe very quickly when he chose you the start of the game. And I believe y'all have stayed a close, good friend. So we have a little message for you.
Okay. Here's Kobe.
Oh. Hey, Care Bear. It's the Copester. Oh. I was asked to come on and brighten your day like you are everybody else is doing this little shindig with the T-Bird and the Robster and tell a little ditty. So my little behind-the-scenes ditty that people don't really realize because it wasn't shown is that Karen and I became instant friends on the boat. We immediately connected the second the game started. As we were rowing, we knew once we landed and the map was read and Karen had the choice on who to go to water, she picked me. She did that on purpose. And that's, you know, it just continued from there. We had a very good alliance, secret alliance, sort of, because even in the edit, people didn't realize how close we were. And then when we got to the Coor Beach, the behind-the-scenes story is that Karen was actually at the top of their hit list. When it comes to the Tom, Ian, Katie, Jen, Greg thing, they really were tossed between Willard and Karen. And then Karen was the top of their hit list for a really long time. But as we kept winning, and Karen got better at playing the game, Karen doesn't get enough credit for the game that she played. And I do remember very specifically, there was a day that Karen and I walked to the water well in the middle of our game on the beach at Karor. And she told me she felt bad, you know, for playing the game so well because she had worked her way into Tom's alliance. And I told her then, which is why I was terrible at playing Survivor, to be quite honest, Karen, you got to do what's best for your game. And good on you, girl. You broke into that barrier. And so as the game played out, that was not luck that Karen lasted so long and outlasted me and Janu and Stephanie and Greg. Karen played a hell of a game, and I don't think she gets enough credit as the game player that she is. And I love you, Care Bear.
Yo, what a nice message.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'll tell you a cute story. So, you know, you're cold. You have no blanket. The wind sweeps up at night. And you have nothing, you know, but the clothes on your back. And I wouldn't cuddle with Tom. I didn't want him to married man. That was coming on to him. Ian was so, you know, with Katie and Jen, and I wouldn't do that. And, you know, Willard was grumpy and I wouldn't cuddle with him. And I thought, well, Colby, you gay guy, he'll know I'm not coming on to him, you know? And one night I'm like cuddling with him and Janu said, excuse me. She was on the other side of him. I got him first. And I'm like, well, can we share him? And he's like, girls, there's enough of me for both of you. And he did. He cuddled us. He put his arm around both of us so we could stay warm. And
yeah,
he was a very colorful, fun, smart, interesting, creative. I cannot say enough good things about him. How he played the game, how he, when people would say things that weren't kind about gay people, we held his ground. I just, you know, which is not easy to do when you're trying to stay in a game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're around the fire and people are talking about, people have come out and, you know, what their thoughts really are about gay people. And to be able to speak the way he spoke and stand up for himself without being offensive or offended, even if he was offended, he speaks well, he thinks, you know, he's creative, the way he talks, and you know, just the way he moves through life in his, you know, building a house and the man he picked and, mm-hmm. you know, his two kids, the life he has created. It's like he was doing that on Survivor. He was creating this game for himself and, you know, it was short circuited. I think he is highly underrated. If people really were on his tribe and could see all that he did, all how he, people were fighting, how he would navigate through that. To be able to not piss people off when you have an opinion and you have a bully or two and not make yourself the target. I mean, he made himself a target because he was good, not because he was a bully or because he was offensive about gay people or anything else. It was because he was good. And that's why Katie stayed on so long. That's why Greg was voted off before I was voted off. It was because they were good.
Karen, do you still keep up with the show? Have you watched a lot of Survivor over the years?
I haven't the last two or three seasons. I haven't. I got rid of my TV.
Oh.
I just decided to. You know what I realized? I was paying, okay, you know, AT&T, this monthly fee, and this one a monthly fee, and in my car to have Sirius Radio, I was paying a monthly fee and all these monthly fees. And I just said, I'm working to support these oligarchies, and I'm not doing it anymore. I'm mm-hmm. cutting back, and I just have high speed internet, and you know, I've kind of taken back podcasts. My own life.
Yeah. Boom.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I do. So I get bits and pieces, but I'm not, you know, tied to the TV.
Yep.
I even gave up my precious 60 Minutes, which I watched for, I don't know, 48 years or something every Sunday, or taped it. And yeah, so I haven't kept up.
I think you can watch it online.
That's true. I can. But, you know, I've become, with COVID, I did become a workaholic.
I wanted to ask you, Kira, what do you think? You know, you played it at 46, mature woman. What did you learn about yourself that you really didn't know playing at 46?
It's funny because that's exactly the question that the psychiatrist, you know, when you get voted off and you go on the boat, you know, and that psychiatrist, you know, you're processing what you went through. And she asked me that same question. And what I was very surprised to learn is, and maybe it wasn't so surprising after all, is that I didn't speak up for myself as much as I thought I would, or for Kobe, or for any other injustice that I perceived as much as I thought I would, because I was stuck on this island and I did not want to just, I didn't know what was on the other side. I didn't know if I'd go on vacation, if I'm going to be stuck in a cab. I didn't know. I was away from my family for 45 days and I was going to make it as far as I could. I kept my mouth shut more than I thought I could or would. That was one thing I learned about myself. And the other one was really how modest I was about, you know, I didn't want to show my skin. And Karen, okay, get over it. This is a game. This, you know, it's hot. You don't have any clothing. You have, you know, three items you can switch off. Get over it. And I realized that my values and my morals about playing with integrity, speaking with integrity, living with integrity, are not modifiable by a game or even by the possibility of $1 million. I wouldn't lie. Well, I just wouldn't lie. And you know what? I'm going to say what they said to me. One of my first interviews, like I think once I talked bad about Tom. I said, basically, I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to gossip. And whichever, I don't remember who said it to me, whoever was there right at that moment, I think it was the woman, what's her name? She was always wore that Billy Bongo shirt or whatever, dark hair, curly, short with the camel thing, water thing, said, I'm going to tell you this, since you're out here, you might as well know this. If you don't bash other people, you're not going to get a lot of airtime. And I said, then I'm not going to get a lot of airtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was proud of that. To go out there and not get a lot of airtime, I could have said a lot more, you know, mean things and callous things and cruel things and malicious things. And I said, I'll take less airtime. I just want to stay in the game and live in alignment with my values.
Did you ever want to play again, Karen?
No. If I could go, you know, maybe with a mother-daughter thing, I would have gone on if one of my daughters would have gone on with me. But being away from them, the four of us are very, 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 very close. And it was really hard. I had so many dreams almost every night that I'd wake up, you know, that they were there. And that was really the hardest part. And also I did my challenge and I now do my challenges other way in other parts of the world, helping people a lot less fortunate who really need my help. So if I can get away for an extended period of time, it's going to be to help other people.
What was your favorite thing about going on the show?
Showing my daughters, you really can do anything. You really can. This is a one chance in. I mean, I think they said that season, my season, 70,000 people had applied.
Mm-hmm.
And who would think I would be picked? And once I was, that was it. Game on. And I was going to make it happen. And so my girls, You could do anything. You can do absolutely. And they do. And they take on great challenges and they do wonderful things. And they have adventurous spirit. And I think my being on the show gave that to all of us.
Karen, I think we've got another message for you. And I think you're going to appreciate it. Talking about, you know, being a role model for your daughters and them being able to do anything. And so Rob, you ready?
Ready. Here we go.
What a great surprise. Wow.
Hey, Karen. It is Stephanie Kendrick, formerly La Grossa here, saying hi. Long time no talk. We keep in touch a little bit on social media, but I haven't really had a chance to see or talk to you in years since Palau. I know that your girls are doing amazing things, and so are you. And I just want to say hi. And I'm so proud of the mother that you have become. And I really do look up to you because I've got two girls of my own now. And one that's entering her tween years, and it has not been easy at times. So God bless you because you've got a few of them and or had a few of them. And then I have a little one that one day I'm sure will give me a run for my money as well. So anyway, I just wanted to say hi and I wish you well. And in all the things that you do and all the works that you do, God bless you. And I'm so proud of you. And I hope we can keep in touch. Love you. Bye.
Stephanie La Grossa.
Wow.
Stephanie Kendrick.
You know what? That's so fab. I mean, I do keep up with her and Colby on social media. So I do know what's going on with her life. And I think I went to her first wedding. Mm-hmm. I think I did. I went to her first wedding. But anyway, yeah, I did. But what I wanted to say is, so I told you for the finale, my daughter was, it was her bat mitzvah weekend. So I had to rush to New York and then, you know, this finale weekend and rush back. And, but before I had reached out to all my tribe members and said, I want to put together a survivor. Her theme, of course, was survivor. I want to put together a video of, can you all just say something? And even Jeff Probst all said, oh, Gabe sent me a little video that I put together for her. Stephanie was great, and Kobe and Greg, and of course Wanda sang.
Oh, that, I mean, that's good if you can get it.
Yep. Gold.
Yes. Survivors. She didn't bother me. I don't know why she bothered so many people. She was just singing and having a good time. She's mm-hmm. just a good time girl. She lived life to the fullest. Like, I think I live life to the fullest, but she, very first day, you know, ripped off her dress and was willing to use it for whatever, you know, but she had to slip underneath, but to use it for whatever. She was such a team player. I thought she would have been, but I think you also have to know how to self-monitor and like read other people. Mm-hmm. That is a thing on Survivor. So I'm not sure she had that trait, but she had a lot of other wonderful, wonderful traits. She was a cheerleader.
She's too pure for this game.
Right.
T-Bird, do you have any other surprises or questions for Karen?
Well, I've got one more question, and she just talked about probes. So Karen, give us the one word you would use to describe Jeff Probst.
Wonderful.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. Do you want to know why?
Yes, wonderful. Please.
Wonderful. He knew from all my interviews about my modesty issue, okay? Being Jewish, having three daughters, and being a lawyer, that I was very careful about what was showing on TV. And you know how they don't, Rob, you know, I mean, T-Bear, you know, nothing is done, you know, it's all real. You go, nobody stops any challenges. I don't know if in your seasons, if many challenges stop, but they were all go. Mm-hmm. And right. So there was one challenge and I'm always trying to guess, you know, is this going to be water or is it going to be land? Because if it's water, I have to figure out what to, you know, I have to have my bra and then my use my my
buff,
you know, my buff as a as a skirt, right? But if it's, and then my bra has to show. But if it's land, then I'm fine. I'm my pants and nothing shows. I have my shirt or my bra or my buff, whatever. And so there was one challenge, and we weren't sure if it was going to be land or sea. And it ended up being the one where we were standing up and paddling. And when I saw, so I saw water. So I, you know, I just took off my pants and, you know, in the, you know, however we got there, Jeep, I took off my pants. We get out of the van and the Jeep, and I see it's in a, we're in a canoe. We're not going to be in the water. And I don't really want to be standing up and rowing and not, I don't know, not have my pants on. And I asked Jeff, you know, he's like, get ready. And I wanted to go back to the Jeep and change. Get my one item, my other item, my pants. And he said, okay. And so I won't. And he knew why. He knew that it was because I had this modesty thing for those three reasons. I mentioned it in every interview. I mentioned it in, you know, when I was, you know, brought on, you know, when they told me that I was getting on, and I said, okay, you just need to know I'm, here's my concern. And he let me on that one occasion, you know, change my clothes. So he's in my heart forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I know other people say, oh, he's cocky, you know, he thinks so much of himself, and oh, he always looks so perfect and always so whatever. To me, he was, that was very thoughtful and very nice. He didn't have to do it. Clearly, he could have just been on par with the usual thing, no, get in it, get in the boat. Instead, he just said, I understand her concerns. And, you know, it's not like I'm orthodox or anything, but, you know, I do have, I don't want my clients, seeing a 50 clients seeing me in an, you know, compromised state of dress, or my daughters on national TV. So I, he's forever in my heart. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, Rob, let me just tell Karen this. Karen, I want to tell you, one of my favorite challenges was on your season, the Hot Pursuit Challenge. You know, when y'all were passing the weight, going around the big circles and passing the 20-pound weights to each other. I loved it. One of my favorite challenges. That's all. I just want to throw that in. Really, really difficult.
Boy, you really know, you difficult. Think you think that you think you're really buff and you're, you know, work out every day, and I ran marathons and half marathons. I never ran less than 5 miles for 40 years and lifted weights and breathing and yoga and all this. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to just nail this. But man, you know, you are really brought to your knees when you're out there and you, as you know, no food, you know, limited water, especially if it's rained and you can't make fire. And to then have to go into a challenge that requires your entire, you know, physical, all your physical abilities, your brain power. And I overestimated, I'll be honest, overestimated my strength and my endurance. I don't think anyone really knows unless they've been on what it takes out of you and what it takes to be on it.
Well, Karen, I'd say you did pretty well. You made it to day 36.
Thank you. It's great
to have had you on today. Thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us.
Thank you both. You rock.
Thank you, Karen. Is there anything you want to tell people to check out that you're doing?
If they're ever in Boca, look me up. Give me a ring. I have a little pad by the beach.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I hope someone will take me up.
Karen, you didn't mention about your salsa, because I did see you salsa dancing last night.
I was really
impressed with that. It's on her Facebook.
That is something. Yes. I also have been doing some Survivors, taking salsa lessons, which, and guitar. I taught myself guitar during COVID. So those are two other things I've been doing. And I look forward to doing more stuff like that as I wind down my practice.
That's awesome.
Thank you both for doing this and keeping everyone excited about Survivor and making it real, like talking to people like real, like what it's really like and not just this glamorized, you know, people like, oh, is it really that hard? Yeah, it really is. You guys tell it like it is. And thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. Really appreciate you making some time to talk to us today. Okay.
Love you guys. Have a great evening.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Karen.
All right, T-Bird. There you have it. Karen from Survivor Palau.
Karen. Yes. Another Survivor Palau castaway.
Yes. T-Bird, can you salsa dance?
I think I can.
Yeah. Are you a good dancer, T-Bird?
I like to dance, Rob.
Yes.
But no, Rob, I'm not going to say that. But you know, everybody can dance. It's whether or not, you know, some people don't think that, you know, it's up to interpretation.
Okay.
But I like to dance. Yes.
Yeah. I got to still work on mine. Maybe I'll teach myself to dance and play the guitar. Next pandemic. That's what I'm doing.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Gonna make a whole bucket list.
She's retiring at the end of the year, and for her to be doing all this traveling to other countries and all this work she's doing, how great is that?
Yeah, and an open invitation for us to visit her condo.
I know. Did she say Boca?
Yeah. T-Bird, do you ever travel to the Boca area?
Very, very nice. I haven't been down there in a while. I just came back from Tampa this afternoon, flying back from Tampa.
A little south, more south.
I haven't been down to Boca in a while.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Well, we can find our way down there, can't we, Rob?
Sure.
Get the kids load up. We'll head down there.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, that was great. That was great talking to Karen. You know, it was, it's always interesting to talk to the old school players and get their take on some of these things. And a lot of times, you know, people will say, yeah, that's not exactly the way I remember it happening. Mm-hmm. So it's great to get, you know, the different views.
Well,
so,
sure. Yeah. You know, you talk to 20 different people, you get 20 different versions of the season.
And, I know, and then I tell Karen,
watch the show and no, everybody says, no, they totally got it wrong.
That's exactly right. Because I had written down, I had some notes where, anyway, that's not important. But I was going to tell Karen, and I didn't. She was talking about how she loved Ethan and wanted to play a game like
Who
Ethan
doesn't?
And win the way Ethan did. Who doesn't? Oh, absolutely. But I have to say this because it's appropriate. So my favorite winner is Tom Westman.
Oh.
It is.
Ethan's not listening.
No. Ethan was on my season, so I don't count Ethan.
He doesn't count.
Because he was on my season. Oh, my gosh. It is hard to know when you're playing and when you're watching. So I just watched Palau. Mm-hmm. I didn't play with him. And I just remembered watching the whole time that Tom was dominating this game. And all I could think of was, why are they keeping this guy in here? He's dominating. He's going to win this whole thing. And he, to be as strong as he was, the challenge beast that he was, to go down at 40 years old and win against all these young players, I still, you know, he is, other than Ethan, him and Mike Holloway. My two favorite winners.
Favorites.
But Tom, I've got right there. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I didn't want to tell Karen that because I thought I wasn't sure where it might go.
Good call. Okay.
But I felt the need.
Yeah.
T-Bird, felt the need to say it.
All right. I know you and I were catching up about Big Brother before we came on. I know you're very excited about everything that's going on this season. So one of these days I'm going to get you to come on a Big Brother podcast.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah, I was just catching up on last night's when I got in this afternoon. So I'm excited about the next one and what's going to happen. So, yeah.
I was trying to get T-Bird to tweet about Big Brother, but she said she couldn't say anything mean on Twitter.
Rob, I feel like people hear enough mean stuff that they don't need me throwing anything out
but,
there.
But if you did tweet, it wouldn't have been something nice. Is that fair? Can we say that?
No,
is that fair to say?
It would have been nice. It would have been nice to say,
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say this, Rob.
Oh, you can say it.
You know how Karen said, you know, there were some things that she wished she had done or said when she was out there that she didn't, because it's a game. So I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. Watching Taylor, what was happening with Taylor really bothered me. It really bothered me for her a lot. And so, you know, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this, Rob. But anyway, I like to see that Taylor, bless her heart, though she's been on the block, I guess, about every week. So the stress of the game has got to be just getting to her. But she's hanging in, and I'm really pulling for her, because I'm only calling her the underdog because the way she's been treated and up on the block and up on the block. So I'm really kind of waiting for her to, you know, she's rising, slowly rising to the top, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's how I feel about that.
All right. Well said, T-Bird. All right. T-Bird, what's coming up for you besides not tweeting about Big Brother?
Okay. Well, I'm super excited. You know, we had Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick on today with a message for Karen. And I cannot wait to see Snake in the Grass with Stephanie on it.
Yes. Okay. It's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep. So I'm excited about seeing that. I got to get caught up with the challenge so we can talk about that. I had never watched it before, so I got to get caught up on that. But other than that, just getting through the summer. I'm ready for the flights to taper off just a little because we're doing the summer travel. Mm-hmm. So it'll be nice for it to slow down a little bit and to cool down some. So what about you, Rob?
What's next for me? Oh, just, yes. You know me, I'm just podcasting, trying to enjoy some time this summer. I had my anniversary this past week with the First Lady Podcasting, 12 years. Yeah. Let's see.
12 years. Okay.
Yeah.
What did y'all do for your 12-year anniversary?
It doesn't
have to be anything.
Nothing yet. Yeah. Well, we had dinner. That's it. And to put it in survivor terms, if you want to know how long I've been married, that the reigning survivor winner from when I got married was Sandra Diaz Twine.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 12
years ago this week, that was the reigning survivor champion, a two-time winner.
Happy anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. I don't know who's luckier. Who's luckier, you or Nicole? It's hard to say.
I think I have some ideas, but we'll save that for another time.
T-Bird, yeah, I think we better.
Great job once again. Of course, follow the amazing T-Bird Cooper on social media. She's at T-Bird Cooper. And until next time, we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye. Today's podcast is brought to you by Hyundai and the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the wide range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.